The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We've had a busy one with Jimbo Fisher earlier. Pete Thamel, you heard from Greg McElroy. Let's get back to the calls. It's all yours at 855-242-7285. A lot of heavy Alabama-Florida conversation. We can talk about anything. And Larry is up next from Alabama.
What's going on, Feinbaum?
Larry, how about you? I was a little worried about you about 5:30 Saturday afternoon when Florida was about to knock the tide off.
I had to take my blood pressure. I got one of them things you wrap around your arm and pump it up, you know?
Yeah.
I checked it a couple of times. My heart rate got up to about 120, 110. But
do you have 911 pre-programmed in your phone?
Oh, yeah, baby. I'm going to live, brother. I mean, God's been good to me, you know? He got me here for a reason. It must be because I'm a Crimson Tide fan. That's why.
Well, how do you feel just to be a normal team, not a superhuman team?
Oh, man, you know, I'm sick and tired of these whinies like Legend. Get a grip, Jack. You played in the swamp, and Bryce Young, this is his third college game, man. He did good. He got out there, kept his composure, and defense was terrible, but hey, they got to stop when they needed it, man. I seen on Facebook these whinies. Oh, man, if we had to do it, we'll get you another damn team to root for. Quit rooting for the Tide. Go on. We don't want you on this Crimson Tide anyways. I mean, I thought, you know, you're playing in the swamp, Paul Feinbaum. You know how they couldn't hear themselves talk. It was a tough game. I loved it. Don't you like games like that, man, that just gets you on?
No, I hate great games, Larry. I want to see another 66-0 game.
Oh, come on, man. That makes me drink too much.
Okay, so, Larry, let's wrap up by going through the afternoon. We know your heart rate was up. Your blood pressure was high.
Yeah, I didn't drink but like about 13, man. I know my doctor, he's been listening to this show. I know he is, and I love
Larry,
him, man. He
tells me. So from start to finish, you only had 13 beers?
Yeah, Paul, I got it, man. I got to get realistic, you know.
Yeah.
Alcohol, yeah, but I love it. But I was all right with it. I just, you know.
So, Larry, would this be considered progress? I've never been to Alcoholics yeah. Anonymous, and I hope I never have to go, but I understand there's a reason for it. I have friends who have been who are in it now. You've gone from 25 Bud Lights a day, a game, to 13. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. People think, well, you can't drink that much. Jesus Christ, man, if you start 30, 45 minutes an hour for the game, you done knocked out three or four. Come on, man. These closet drinking fools out there go, I don't drink. Yeah, you do. Quit lying. You know, and I don't
Larry,
lie.
I didn't have a single drink during the game.
Well, look at you, man. Hey, if you got drunk, you would blow away in the wind, Jack. If you ever
as the leading expert in the world on Bud Light consumption, looking at me, you know me. We've met. We know we're friends. What do you think my ceiling would be on consumption of Bud Lights?
If you smell one. You fall down. You sniffed it. Hey, boy, come on now.
So I would get drunk if a bunch of Clydesdales came down my street?
Yeah, you get drunk if somebody said Bud Light, you'd already start wobbling.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, I know, man. I love it, but I'm sick and tired of these fans, especially Legend, running his mouth. why you want to fire somebody? He held him on 2-point conversion, Jack.
Well, I don't. So, you know, I do not like. I do not like Alabama on Alabama crime here.
Yeah, that's just silly. And them people on Facebook. I know you out there, Joe, Bobby Brown, all y'all chumps.
Hey, legend. I'm not on Facebook. So where do you go on Facebook to find this information?
Well, it's Facebook. You just punch it in. I'm not good at it. But there's people make stupid comments and do stupid little videos and ignorant crap.
I mean, Facebook doesn't exactly have a reputation as being like right on the money here. I'm surprised. I'm surprised you. I hope that didn't shock anyone. By the way, I know there's been a little controversy about it.
Really? I know, man. They come up, and like I said, man, them out there, y'all know what I'm talking about, you chumps. So get your grip. Go to another dang team. I'm sick of listening, y'all. I mean, really, I comment and back to them. You know, I tell them how stupid they sound.
Well, as long as they don't ever mention me on Facebook, I feel secure.
Oh, you get mentioned?
That's too bad.
Yeah, you do.
Is it unflattering?
I don't know, Paul. Let me think about that. I don't know.
Things are so bad for me on Facebook. Even Larry doesn't want to repeat what he's read.
I know. They got me Twitter. Somebody jumped me and got me on Twitter. I ain't never had no Twitter twice.
I didn't think so. Yeah, there is an account on Twitter that we've seen here, because we follow this stuff pretty closely, that everyone has said is you, but I never believed that was you.
No, man, that makes me mad. I like to find that dude. I'd have to watch my heart rate while I was pushing him out. But, I couldn't go.
By the way, Larry, I'm not going to mention it on the air, but Mark Kubiak, your good friend, we think we know who is doing your Twitter account.
I wish y'all would tell me. I would go.
I don't want to say it on the air because it would cut pretty close to home.
Yeah. Well, you tell them. I'll be looking for them.
Okay. Hey, Larry, you take care of yourself now, my friend. Augie is up next in New Orleans. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul. Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm not good at Facebook?
No. I think we all have to know our own shortcomings, but I don't think it takes a lot of talent to master Facebook.
I mean, you either do it or you don't. There's no good at it. It's like the guy said once, I'm good at all. I know all the Twitters. And I'm like, oh, I thought there was only one. But, you made a comment. What do you think about all this blue on blue crime going on? The Bamites calling each other out?
Yeah, that's,
hell.
I mean, this is after a win, Augie.
No kidding. I don't care if it was by a 100th of a point. You just knew that no matter what, Florida wasn't going to win that game. I said that you would have to have an apparition of the Holy Mother for them to win that game.
And by the way, Augie, this wasn't like Alabama won at Vanderbilt by 2 points.
No. But, you know, you guys overrate the swamp. Remember last year what a half of an LSU team did, right?
Yeah.
And even though Mr. Pitts wasn't playing, come on, you're talking about LSU last year. And speaking of last year, what do you think is going to happen Saturday, Paul? I mean, I see this as make or break for Ed O. I think this game.
I think it's a big game. It seems to me that he keeps getting bad news. We just put up the player that's out, and I mean, he has gotten some really bad luck so far this year, but. Yeah, you have are two desperate teams, and I really haven't given this game too much thought, but I think it may be the most intriguing game of the day.
I think it probably has the most at stake for two people in Mike Leach, and I don't know what they're saying in Stark Vegas, but after what happened Saturday, I mean, that was unforgivable.
Yeah.
I mean, there are ways to lose games, but that was absolutely unforgivable. But, Paul, I think Jordan Rogers asked the question of the week. Did you learn more about Alabama or more about Florida during this game Saturday?
I felt like I learned more about Alabama.
I agree with you. I agree. And I said at the beginning of the year, the one team that Alabama has to look out for in the West is Ole Miss, and boy, is it proving itself right. Now, do you see any potential for Kiffin to bolt out of Oxford?
I don't know. Not to USC.
Okay. I was wondering about that because they did remove him on the tarmac. And that would be pretty much.
I'm not an expert on Hollywood divorces, but I mean, I think it would be pretty close to Brad and Angelina getting back together again.
Or what was it, Cher and Greg Allman, when they married for like 24 hours and that was it?
Yeah, but I have to tell you, that was one good-looking couple. He had better hair than she did.
I couldn't tell who was who in that one.
What was anyway, their daughter's Paul, name? Wasn't it like a strange name or something?
Something like that. I think that was his name.
How do you go from Sonny Bono, by the way, not related to Bono, to Greg Allman? I mean, we must go to a break. We'll talk about 70s music some other time, maybe on the 70s music channel on Sirius XM. Right now, we are back with your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And welcome back. Final hour of our program on this Monday afternoon. And let's get to the calls and talk to Jeff, who is in Georgia. Hello, Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Paul. How are you, Paul? Good to hear you.
Thank you very much.
As a longtime loyal Georgia fan, I've got to say that guy, Daryl, he is a total embarrassment. I apologize to the listeners.
Yeah, well said.
But anyhow, changing course a little bit, for many, many years, I have felt like the NCAA is probably the worst governing body in all of sports. And I'm also of the opinion that college football doesn't need them anymore. And so I'm going to kind of hang up and let me hear what your thoughts are on that.
Thank you. Yeah, the worst governing body in sports, but not the worst governing body, period. Thank you. I think we're moving toward that day. The problem is change occurs very, very slowly in intercollegiate athletics. And while I think the power of the NCAA has been eroded, where is it going? Right now, the five commissioners of the Power Five pretty much run the sport. And they try to work collaboratively, although I don't really buy that. We heard that last year during COVID. It didn't work. We had two conferences bail and three go on. We heard that a couple of months ago when they were all working collaboratively about the expansion of the 12-team playoff, and now that has almost been deep sick. So thanks for the call. Really good call and really accurate statement, by the way. Let's continue with more phone calls right now. And Tony is up next in Florida. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Paul. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
I'm with Larry. I tell you, these Alabama fans, they need to chill. I mean, I'm a Georgia fan, and if we could beat Florida by two, I wouldn't play them. I mean, Jesus, get over it. You've got to play some close games once in a while.
Of course.
My goodness. But I'll tell you, I wanted to know, too, talking to you, have we had any South Carolina fans call in? Because I heard that they had the biggest, best football team in the country, and I just want to know if you had any call in yet.
We have not had a single South Carolina fan call today. And listen, I understand. And by the way, I thought their enthusiasm last week was fantastic. Their delusion was a little bit hard to digest.
Well, one of them said to me in Athens this weekend, he said, "If I would be satisfied if y'all only beat us 35-17. And I said, my goodness. You come in here to win the game, and you have another thing. I mean, you take Florida. Florida, is their program has fallen so far that they're delighted with a loss. I can't understand that. I mean, they lost, And, I mean, these people are nuts, I'm telling you.
Well, I think Dan Mullen said what he had to say after the game, and I would have been proud of my team, too. I let Florida fans speak for themselves. I'm not sure they're excited with a loss. I do think their program is to a point where, under Steve Spurrier, he wouldn't have been happy losing by two to Alabama at home. But it's a different program today, and this program is trying to come back to where it used to be, not expect to be where Alabama is. Nobody's there right now. Corey is in Kentucky. You're on the air. Hello, Corey.
Hey, Paul. This is Corey from Louisville. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for the call.
Good. I've been on here listening to all the us Bama fans complaining. And I'm more realistic. If we looked at that schedule and thought that was going to be a cakewalk going into the swamp playing Florida, you're sadly mistaken. If that was going to be a tough game, whether we won by 50 or two, it's a win. So, we just got to get over that and just be more realistic. That was going to be a tough game. And we got to talk legend off the ledge. We don't have to go firing the defensive coordinators and getting rid of and clearing house. Now, I will say this. Looking at that defense, and I think coming into the season, I've heard many people say that this possibly could be, Nick Saban, one of his best defense at Alabama. I'm just not seeing it yet.
Well, I'm one of those who said that, Corey. Here's why. I mean, I was talking to people that were down there every day, and they were raving over individual players, but collectively, it hasn't quite happened yet.
Right.
And I'm not making excuses for anyone. I mean, these are young players, but the environment was difficult for a lot of reasons. And I think one thing that nobody's really talked about is the heat took its toll on everyone. I'm a million years away from these guys' ages, but I was sitting there Saturday morning on our show, and I'm normally not one that really gets hot, but I mean the humidity was so thick. And this is at 12 o'clock, not at 3:30, 3.5 hours later. I mean, that affected, I think, the players as the game wore on, especially the defensive guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that played a part. And as far as the defense, again, maybe it's something as the season go on. Maybe I'll change my mind. But, at the front four, I just don't see a dominant
defensive
tackle. A Will Anderson, maybe him at the linebacker.
And by the way, in fairness to him, I mean, he was coming back from an injury. He played well, but I think he can play better.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I guess the jury is still out, but we'll see how things go. But just, if Bama fans, if you're listening to me, just relax. Things are going to be okay and everything's going to play into place.
Thank you for the call. And one thing about Alabama, it's not like we have to wait 8 weeks to see if Alabama's defense has gotten any better. How about a week from Saturday when Ole Miss comes to town? That is going to be the game that I think a lot of people will hit the hyperbole meter on, and maybe with some justification. How about Tom in Florida? Hello, Tom.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Great. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I just wanted to say at the end of the game, the Florida game the other day, I think Saban's been doing too many Aflac commercials. He seemed to be like ready for an Emmy Award because he was – that man looked rattled. He was trying to look all calm and cool, but he looked incredibly rattled, and he looked like a deer in the headlights.
Well, I think I think when you're used to winning big, I mean, that was a roller coaster game, and I've watched Alabama play a lot of games, and that is usually a game Alabama loses. What I mean by that is big lead, blow it. I mean, Alabama has come back from some deficits. We saw that against Georgia a couple of times, but the karma was bad for Alabama as that game wore on.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, if you're Saban, it takes a toll on everyone, and that's all I'm trying to say is, he's angry after a 30-point win, and he could see it, and the one thing I think Nick Saban did not want was overtime because he knew that his defense was gassed, and he knew that's when that crowd was going to play a bigger factor. I think Dan Mullen will be kicking himself for a while on that 2-point conversion, but it's over now. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We have 30 minutes to go. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are continuing with more of your phone calls, and Lance is up next. Hello, Lance.
Yeah, hi, Paul. So, first of all, thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
And so my question is this to you. Do you think that Alabama has been exposed as far as on the defensive side of the ball? Because it looked like Florida came out there kind of like Rocky and Ivan Drago, and when Rocky hit him in the eye, he bled. Is that what we're seeing with this Alabama defense? Because I'm a Texas A&M fan, but I was not that impressed from the defense that I saw from Alabama. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I mean, there's no way you could be. And I think Greg McElroy pointed out two players in particular who played, beyond subpar games. And we're talking about two of their three or four best defensive players. I'm not ready to write them off yet, but I do think, they have a brutal stretch, and I think especially the Ole Miss game. I'm not diminishing the A&M game, but I'm just not as impressed right now with A&M's offense because of the quarterback situation. But it may, hearing Jimbo earlier, he doesn't seem overly concerned. But Ole Miss is explosive, and if that defense doesn't play better, they will completely get gashed by Ole Miss.
Okay, and that was my question because, like I said, I hear the Alabama rhetoric, all of the time and how great this defense is and was. But like I said, I don't see it at this point, but I just want to get your thoughts on it, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you very much. I've heard some criticism of the offense, too, and the only criticism I've heard at all with Bryce Young is that he wasn't – you know, he has been reluctant to run. I don't think that's a bad thing, though. I think he's being careful and smart. And this is not somebody that needs to get injured right now. And I think he's been, you know, very efficient in how he operates. And if that defense had played better, they would not have a deal with it. And there was also a penalty that Alabama had. I think it was a blocking in the back late in the game that Alabama was heading down for really the clincher. And it was just mistakes. And you have to execute. But you're on the road, and they'll be on the road at Kyle Field in 2.5 weeks. Thank you for the call. Let's get the reaction from another Bama fan here and see if the entire state has melted down. DJ K-Dub, how are you?
What's up, my brother? Can you hear me pretty good? I've been having trouble with my call, just making sure you can hear me good.
You sound great.
Okay, brother. I just wanted to comment on just a couple of things. I hear the defense is getting torched up today, and, you know, I don't think they played their best game. But let me ask you this. I know at the beginning of the year, a lot of people stated that this possibly could be Nick Saban's best defense. Right now, if you had to pick one or two defenses, not including this year, which defense would you particularly pick to be Nick Saban's best defense so far?
I would probably go back to 11, maybe, somewhere in that
perfect
range.
Stop right there. Stop right there. My defense is – that's the team I wanted to pick, too, the 2011 defense. But I can recall Georgia Southern running up and all up and down the field on us that year.
They did.
I can recall Georgia – I was at the game. So my thing is, I mean, the season's not over with, and defense is going – from time to time, they're going to give up something. I mean, who would have thought Georgia Southern would have carved us up like they did? They ran the ball all over us, and we could not stop it. We couldn't stop it. So my thing is, ladies and gentlemen – just give it time. I'm not one of those fans that say
I have to ask you, because he's one of your running buddies. At least he was. I mean, Legend is the one that went into a meltdown today.
I understand. I didn't actually hear his call yet. He's still one of my buddies. I talked to him the other day. We talked this week. But I mean, he's his own man. I mean, he speaks his mind. He has his own, thoughts in his own agenda, but I mean, I have my own thoughts in my agenda too.
I admire about Legend, I mean, he's Ric Flair. He doesn't come in for a boring call, so that's cool.
I know this. I mean, no one wants to hear me talk logical. And not saying that he's not talking logical, but no, I mean, yeah, he's gonna give the Flair night. He's Ric Flair all day, baby.
You've been calling the show for a long time. Nobody wants to hear a rational call. You know that.
You're right about that. I apologize for trying to talk wrestling and trying to be a rational person, but I think sometimes I think it's just people need to just pump the brakes. I mean, we're not going to beat everybody by 30. We're not.
Well, that's the problem right now, K Dub. And I had an Alabama friend hit me up over the weekend, and he said, "Should I be concerned?" I'm like, "Going, man." No, calm down. But that's just the nature of Alabama fandom. You and I remember a day when a two-point win over Florida, we'd still be driving back celebrating.
I'm not gonna say that I was just like overly excited, but I mean, we won the game, and I thought Bryce Young played pretty good for his first time on the road. I mean, in the hostel, it was hostile in there, Paul.
Oh yeah,
it was hostile. It was very hostile. I thought he kept his cool. I mean, he looked pretty good to me. And overall, I mean, at the end of the day, when you get the win, you just got to take the win for what it is.
Alabama defense I really liked that didn't win the national championship was the 16 defense. That thing was loaded with all Americans and first round picks.
Yeah, that'll probably be number two on my list. I agree with you, but I mean, I kind of baited you into that question because a lot of people did think that 2011 was Nick Saban's best defense. But a little old team.
My point about the other one is, in the, and this is always an equalizer. But even in the national championship game in 16, the defense was just on the field too much. At some point, you can't make a stop. You need your offense as great as it – thanks for the call. As great as it played in the first half, you got to make a play. And they had the opportunity to make that play in the fourth quarter, and they didn't make it. If Alabama had converted there and had scored a touchdown instead of a field goal, we wouldn't be having – the same conversation that we're having right now. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. CJ is in Virginia. You're on the air.
Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank
you. How are you doing, sir?
Listen, we are doing great.
Listen, a lot of people have stolen my thunder, but a big reason I actually want to call the last couple of weeks, I just couldn't get in, but it is the subject of the Alabama arrogance. And just calling to give some perspective here. You know, the callers I've been hearing for the last couple of weeks, and Exhibit A would be legend. He's the one that makes so many people hate Alabama so much. You know, this whole idea that, you know, Alabama's pretty much won all their games the last 20 years and probably will win their next, like, all their games for the next 20 years. I submit that Alabama is one Nick Saban away from mediocrity. I mean, when Nick Saban got there, for years, they had been through coaches. They lost several games a year. You know, I'd like to recall another game. Those are the good old days when Northeast Louisiana beat Alabama in Coach Saban's first year. Those are the good old days. But just some of the
that was Louisiana Monroe.
Yeah, UL Monroe. They used to go by Northeast Louisiana, the
right.
Indians, whatever.
You're right. You're absolutely right about that.
But, you know, for Alabama, enjoy this time, this historic time. I think it's great. But the idea that, you know, everybody else is cupcakes and you're going to win forever, just trying to give a little. Now, Legends Call today was great. Today was great. I didn't keep that up. You know, fire everybody, a lot of humility. That was awesome. But I was just trying to give a little perspective, you know, and, you know, enjoy it while you can, but you know, and for us, for LSU right now, I mean, we're you know, this Saturday is going to tell us a lot, I think, at Mississippi State. We've had, you know, it's been great under Coach O, except for recently. To be honest with you, I just think off the field he hasn't handled the success well. That's my personal opinion, but you know, we're still behind them and pulling for them. The team, they're getting it together now, and we'll see. I don't know. We'll see how things go. But anyway, I was just calling for a look.
Thank you for the call.
Paul,
go ahead. Finish your call.
One quick thing. Do you know the most beautiful thing in America you can see? Most beautiful sight.
A lot of people believe it's a Statue of Liberty.
Well, no, that's a little distant. But number one is the camera panning up in the stands and watch and seeing Alabama tears from a loss.
Okay, well, you're right. That would be number two behind immigrants coming over from Europe back in the day and seeing the Statue of Liberty. I never thought of that. Although I do say the poor guy, the guy, and we interviewed him one time, the guy in the pink button-down shirt, the frat boy, who was shown after the kick six. We did an interview with him. Is one of the greatest TV shots of all time. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.